Welcome back to another episode of the Urban Indigo Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Min. I am joined with a very special guest today, Dr. Ryan Carangola, who is a chiropractor based here in Encinitas, San Diego, California, who specializes in the Gonstead Method. Dr. Ryan, so nice to have you here with us.
So nice to be here, Diana. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
I'm so grateful that you were able to make time for us. So, for those of you guys who are joining my podcast maybe for the first time, you know, my whole journey of my healing has been, you know, just this roller coaster ride of diving into sacred plant medicine, into holistic healing, meditation, and so many more, you know, just spiritual practices for healing. And recently I got in contact with Dr. Ryan's practice, and we have been working on healing me on a physical level. And it's been really amazing, just the journey that I've been going on with healing trauma in my body. And so I was just so excited to have Dr. Ryan come on here and also share so much of his wisdom and his knowledge in this field with all of you.
Excited to be here. Yeah. Happy to share some knowledge, hopefully. People get something from it.
Yeah, no, we definitely will. We definitely will. So I'm actually going to be sharing a picture of my x-ray up here so that people can see the state that I arrived into your office and how shocked I was at what I saw when you actually did an x-ray of my spine. Can you explain to me a little bit about what was going on in that x-ray? And like, I mean, it was so shocking to me because you don't know what your spine looks like, or you don't know what the inside of your body looks like. But you also, like, you taught me a lot about what is actually affecting my physical body. So can you talk more about all that comes into kind of why my spine was looking the way it looked?
Yeah, and just like when you first came to my office, you had mentioned you had a massage therapist that had told you that you should see a chiropractor at some point.
Yeah.
But you didn't know if you necessarily felt called, but maybe I don't think you knew why you should see a chiropractor. And I think a lot of people also have that same feeling, is like they're not really sure why to go to a chiropractor.
Yeah.
Some people think that they have to have neck pain or back pain or something like that. And you did have those things.
Yeah, chronic.
But it's about way, way more than that. It's really about our neurological function, and really just stress that we have on a day-to-day basis and how that manifests and gets locked into our body. And it just really comes from trauma that gets stored in the body. So I don't know how much you want me to go into your specific x-ray at this point, because I don't know when you're going to share it up there. But yeah. I can talk a little bit about like just your structure if you want me to. I don't know where you'd want.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the biggest eye-opener was when you brought up the three T's, right? So like the three T's were the things that affect your physical structure are, what was it? Thoughts and feelings, trauma, which is physical trauma, and toxins. And I don't feel like I have a lot of toxins that I've been taking in my body. So mainly for me, it's physical trauma and thoughts and feelings, right? And so when I saw my x-ray, I remember I saying this to you when we were in your office, I was like, I'm sad. Like, I was sad because like what I saw in the structure of my body was just like all of my emotional trauma, as well as all of my physical trauma that I had endured in my life, and trying to kind of seeing it manifest in physical form was just like, wow, like, you know, just it was shocking and also sad at the same time. And I know you're very kind and you're like, oh, don't be sad, because we're gonna heal it. And I'm like, yeah, but wow, like I've been, you could see that I had been through a lot in my life, just in like the way that my spine was not straight at all.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing, is most people have no idea what their spine looks like, and most people don't even know why they should really care.
Yeah.
But really, like you said, stress that we have in our life, whether it's physical, chemical, emotional, falling under the trauma of physical trauma, physical stress of the body, the chemical stressors, the emotional stress, what that does is it's perceived by our nervous system. So really it always comes down to the nervous system. The nervous system is the most important thing. And that's really what I do as a chiropractor, and what you want to find a chiropractor that's going to help you with if you're looking for neurological healing. Because some people might just do like sports med stuff and like you tear a muscle and they'll work out your muscle. And that's cool if that's what you need help with. But really, my focus, and with you, the healing that we want to focus on is really with the neurological system. Mm-hmm. And so the nervous system is really, first of all, like a lot of times people talk about the nervous system, but what is the nervous system? Like, what does it do? Right? So the whole function of the nervous system is to perceive our environment and then adapt the behavior of all the other cells in our entire body. And so it's a perception thing. The brain and nervous system has to perceive it, and then it adapts to either get us to a better place of survival, or we're in a place of like rest, healing, growth, repair. Mm-hmm. And so whatever happens to us in our life, whatever we are perceived through our nervous system, gets stored and locked into the body. And so even when we do have a physical trauma or stress, there's also the emotional component to it. So for example, somebody gets in a car accident. Maybe it's the whiplash and the force that's applied to the body, but sometimes it's not even that. It's the fear. Maybe they saw the car coming that was about to hit them, and they took a position in their body of like protection. And that position that they're in during the impact is almost what gets locked and causes the body to get stuck in that position. Mm. And same thing, like somebody could yell at you and like they're gonna hit you, and like, it causes you to kind of cower and pull back. That emotional stress to that response gets stored in the physical body and can cause the body to shift and cause misalignments in the body that are there that we never realize, that are coming from traumas that could be emotional or, like I said, even physical, or the emotional response to a physical trauma as well.
Wow. That's so weird, because as you were saying that, like that part in my back started to kind of like clench up. Yeah. And so it's just me just even thinking about those moments in my life where I've had that physical trauma, whether it was abuse in my childhood or an actual car accident that I did have. And so when you're working, so since we've been working together, I think maybe like 6-7 weeks now, I've noticed major changes in myself, like in the way that not only I'm sleeping better. I am clenching my jaw for the last 33 years of my life, and recently like I've felt such a relief in just like my jaw pain and like the tension in here. And so it's been major physical changes, but then also like emotional changes, right? Because like obviously I do a lot of work in the spiritual world, and I help a lot of people heal through their trauma. And I've been doing so much healing, you know, with sacred plant medicine and all these different healing modalities. And I've always focused on healing things in my mind, healing things in my heart, healing things in my spirit. And I think like the last frontier for me, and I've had tons of friends and shamans and mentors tell me like, you really need to heal it in your body, Diana. Like you really need to start healing, you know, the trauma that's stuck in your body. And I've worked with, you know, shamanic body workers, and I've worked with people that are like, you know, claiming to like be pulling, you know, spirits and things and out of my body. But recently, since working with you, I actually feel like there's major shifts in how I'm feeling physically and the stress that was subconsciously running through my body. And so kind of, I guess, what you're talking about, right? Like you're actually healing my nervous system beyond like what I think most people as coaches say when they're healing your nervous system. Like you're doing it on an actual literal physical level.
In a way. So I'm not healing your nervous system as much as I'm allowing your nervous system to go to the direction of healing of
where it
needs to heal.
Okay.
From. So the nervous system really operates from one of two states or gears, really. It's like you can either be in fight or flight, which is a sympathetic nervous system, which is our protection. It's that like stress is there, right? Like a lion jumps out at you. You're going to fight or run from the lion, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever stress that is. Or the other side is that parasympathetic, the rest, calm, growth, healing, repair mode. So at all times, your body is either in one or the other. Mm-hmm. So when we tend to be in that more sympathetic fight or flight, your body is putting all of its resources into survival and protection, and it's not putting it into normal growth, repair, and healing. And so what I'm doing when I'm adjusting the spine and the nervous system is we're helping to take it out of that sympathetic protection survival state, and we're shifting it over to that parasympathetic rest, repair, healing mode. Because once we shift the body there, then the body can do what it's designed to do, because the body's self-healing and self-regulating. It's always trying to heal itself, right? You cut yourself, you get a bruise on your leg because you walk into something, or, you know, we always have injuries to our body, and the body heals, right? But if our body is in putting its resources into protection and survival, it's unable to put them into fully like restoration and repair. And most people are walking around in a state of sympathetic, and it's a low level. It's not like your heart's racing and all of that, but your nervous system is still leaning into a sympathetic dominant state. And so it's not able to put the resources that it needs to self-heal, self-regulate the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So what we're finding is where your body's disconnected neurologically. And so that's one thing, is because there's certain areas of the body, because going back to perception, and the brain and nervous system being able to perceive not only our external environment, it has to be able to perceive our internal environment. And if it can't perceive our internal environment, it doesn't know what to self-heal and self-regulate. So one of the things that we're doing when we're adjusting you is we're helping your brain perceive your internal environment properly so that it can do its job then and self-heal and self-regulate that, as well as shifting your nervous system into a state of parasympathetic rest, calm, so that your body can put your resources into healing yourself.
So I've been in a state of survival for, my body has been in a state of survival for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And you know that, right? We've talked about your history. I'm sure your listeners have like followed through like your journey and what you've shared about just the things you've overcome in that survival. But even once we address and we get away from those things, right?
Yeah.
We've dealt with like our past traumas that we've had.
Yeah.
The physical part still stays with us. And that's what sometimes is really hard on our own to release or to find where that's stored in our body.
Yeah.
And that's where I can help to find, okay, where's the nervous system still disconnected? How can we reconnect it? And how can we shift the nervous system so you truly can heal yourself the way you're designed to?
Yeah, that's fascinating. And for me, it was also fascinating to see that like the majority of it was kind of centered around my heart space. And like, that's where I would always kind of feel anytime I was stressed or anytime I was like going through, you know, just like a tough time, like that space would just like clench up. And I was just always almost like my heart chakra is like broken or whatever, you know, or it's like kind of trying to clear it, or it's Reiki and all these other type of healing modalities. And I kind of want to ask you, like, so what, how do you feel about when people are like, oh, like you can just heal yourself? Like you can, you know, go into a meditative state and you can heal yourself.
Well, that there is so much truth to that, right? And so the biology belief, the healing of the mind, the placebo, the nocebo, right? Like we can think ourselves sick, we can think ourselves well. So a proper mindset and our beliefs are so important for our healing.
Yeah.
But that alone, if there's something physically stuck in the body, there can be limitations with that.
Right.
And so that's why it is helpful, because you know, for example, if you show your x-ray, like there's a curve in the part that goes to your heart, right? And those nerves are being affected. That's a mechanical thing that has now happened. The structure has shifted mechanically. I can think all day long and it's not going to unwind that part of my spine and take that neurological tension off there. That's already there, right? You can reconnect and like get yourself in a good state. You can even get your body out of that sympathetic fight or flight state through your thoughts and your beliefs and your meditation work and all that stuff. But still, when you have a mechanical structural shift that has happened, that it, that in itself causes the body to want to keep going back to that sympathetic fight or flight state.
Yeah.
And that's why, yes, the beliefs and the mindset are so important. But if there is a physical structural problem that has resulted from the traumas that we've had, it takes a physical structural solution to correct that.
Yeah, I'm really grateful that I found your practice and that I've been on this healing journey. I've definitely seen the impact of it, not only in my physicality, but also in, like in my emotional state, my mental state. Can you talk a little bit more about, because, you know, I've shared with on my podcast before that, you know, I've struggled with borderline in the past and I have a long history of mental disorder in my family, and how your type of chiropractic work is able to kind of support coming out of those, or just healing and overcoming states of like depression, anxiety, and maybe even borderline and bipolar, things like that.
Yeah, I'm super happy to answer that. I'm going to take one step back really quick just to answer something you said before about, for example, the nerves going to your heart, right?
Yeah.
And so the area of your spine on your x-ray where we can see there's significant misalignment are the nerves that are connected to your heart.
Yeah.
Another way to think of the nervous system is the electrical system of the body, mm-hmm. right? So everybody can think of, like, in your house, you have the electrical box. Let's say you're like, I don't know, getting ready to go somewhere. You got an iron going and a curling iron and a hair blower and the lights go out in that room.
Right.
You got to find that switch and go back to that electrical box to hit the switch so the lights come back on. Mm-hmm. Right. So your nervous system is very much like that. Depending on the level of your spine, it connects to the different parts of your body. Just like in that electrical box, it connects to the different rooms in your house. So for example, the nerves that are connected to your heart, those are in that upper thoracic part of your spine. So when we're starting to look at the T2, T3, those nerves are innervating going to the heart, but it's a two-way connection as well. So it could be that, yes, you had maybe somebody hit you on the back and now that's going to cause a misalignment that's going to affect the nerve flow and communication to your heart. Or it could be that you've had a lot of heartache and a heart trauma, mm-hmm. and that actually causes, again, that shift where it causes the structure to start to malform or misalign, I should say, as a result going that way as well.
Yeah.
So it's just that kind of neurological system. That's like on the level. So for example, up here in the upper cervical, those nerves go to our jaw. And if we have nerve irritation up here, it's going to cause that clenching and that tightness and that just kind of overall like stuff that happens here. As we go down, it can affect your thyroid gland, your heart, your lungs, your digestive system. So a lot of times people will come to me because they have digestive problems. And we adjust the nerves that are connected to their digestive system, their digestion gets better.
Yeah.
So as we further go down, it goes to the reproductive organs all the way down. So depending on the level of the spine is where it connects. Now, when you talk about the personality stuff and like when we start to talk about depression and those things, that really gets heavily back into the sympathetic fight or flight response.
Okay.
And so when we go back and think about that, like, you know, we give the example of like a lion jumps out at you, right?
Yeah.
If we think about what happens in the body, the first thing when you see that lion, you're like, oh shit, a lion's gonna like chase me or eat me, right? Mm-hmm. Your brain sends a signal to your adrenal glands. You dump your stress hormones, which are your catecholamines, so your adrenaline, your epinephrine, right? All that stuff is dumping so that you can either fight or run from that lion. You need everything going to do that, right?
Yeah.
Your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up because you need blood pumping out to your extremities so you can fight or run. Your cholesterol goes up. The reason cholesterol goes up, you need cholesterol for clotting wounds. And there's a high chance you're going to get a wound in a fight or flight situation, so your body's releasing more of your LDL cholesterol is going out to the tissues. The locus coeruleus, which is a part of your brain for like stress and anxiety, or that's actually amygdala, but the part for your brain that has like for focus and concentration mm-hmm. gets down-regulated. Because if you have a lion that's about to eat you, your body is not worried about like focusing and like learning a math equation or something, right? Mm-hmm. You get increased signal detection, which means you're more aware of other things in the environment. So you're more like, is there a second lion around the corner, right? Is there right. one coming this way? So all of these shifts that are happening in our body are a normal response to stress, right? But once we get away from that stressful situation or that lion, our body should be able to, or it does, it is able to, it goes back to that kind of rest parasympathetic. It's like, okay, it was an old toothless lion, or maybe it was a lion that escaped the zoo and it was friendly. And so we got away, we're cool. Oh, you got away from lion, everything starts to shift back. But the problem is what happens is people constantly are in a low level sympathetic dominant state that they are never able to shift back out of that.
Mm.
And so our physiology stays in us in that constant protection survival mode. And when we're there, we're hypersensitive to our environment. We're more likely to lash out because we're like so responsive and yeah. hypersensitive and triggered because we're in a state of protection and survival.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the behavioral, the depression and all that is from our body being constantly in that sympathetic dominant state and not getting back into that parasympathetic state. We should be in that parasympathetic state at probably 85% of our life. And I would say the majority of people are probably spending 90, 95% of the time like in a sympathetic state.
Yeah.
And it's just whether it's in it, all of that comes from whether it's your diet and your nutrition. So people that drink alcohol, that's a stressor to your system. If you eat too much sugar, I just use that example because everybody knows sugar is not good for you, right? That in itself triggers that fight or flight response. the emotional stress and traumas that we have. Yeah. So the physical stress. So like when you do take a physical blow or a trauma, so like you take a fall, you know, down the stairs, right? Mm. That physical trauma that happens, your body activates that sympathetic nervous system. It's an accumulation of those three categories of stress that we all constantly have that will keep our body into that state. And then when the longer we stay stuck in a state of survival, so if we were there from like childbirth, which happens a lot because I take care of a lot of babies and little kids as well, and if they had trauma during the birthing process, they are starting day one of their life in a state of sympathetic fight or flight.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, they've never really, they've been operating from there their whole life.
Yeah.
And so when we're...
I can relate.
And so when we're there, like that's when we tend to move into these states that we get labels and diagnoses put on us. Like, you know, I was talking about the focus and inability to focus because maybe there's a second lion. And so if you're that little kid that's been under stress your whole life, oh, you have ADD or ADHD, right?
Yeah.
You can't focus and pay attention, right? It's because you're in survival. Or maybe you were an adult and it happens later in life and your blood pressure is up, right? So high blood pressure is not pathological. It's normal adaptation to the stress that your body needs to meet the demands from the stress that you have on it.
Yeah.
Which is why the treatments that we oftentimes offer for that are unsuccessful, because we're treating the effect of it.
Yeah.
Whether it's for focus, right? We're trying to give somebody chemicals to help them change their focus. They're not addressing the underlying cause of why the nervous system is in that sympathetic fight or flight state. And that's why a lot of times the medications don't work, or it leads to 2 to 3 different medications, or they overload the system and they just cause burnout on the system as well.
Well, first, I don't know how more people don't know about you, like all the benefits of what this type of chiropractic work does, because had I known that you would have been able to help me balance out all the things that were happening emotionally within myself, I would have definitely been there way sooner. But yeah, I think that people really need to understand that healing is has many faces, right? It's like mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. And I think a lot of the people in the spiritual community are really just kind of forgetting about the human body, right? Like there's so much about like transcending the human body, right? And doing a lot of work, especially because I do a lot of my work in sacred plant medicine ceremony groups. And a lot of that work, I don't feel like is really integrated in all these other aspects, right? And so I actually do want to connect a little bit though, which I think this was really like mind blowing for me. The healing that work that I'm doing with you on a physical level, and actually how it connected to my most recent ayahuasca ceremony, where I realized, so I was in a ceremony about, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago, and I was feeling this almost like childlike fear of being dropped. So I don't know if as a child, if I was dropped or whatever, but I had this fear of being dropped, whether it was by my parent or God, the universe. And I felt like this internal holding of myself, because I felt like this like existential fear of like, I'm not going to be supported. I'm not going to be taken care of. Like, I'm not going to be loved. Like, I'm not going to be held. So I need to like hold myself. And there's like this clenching that's like been, it's almost like it's always been happening. But I think like in that particular ceremony, I just kind of felt it more. And all of a sudden there was just kind of like this presence of, you know, the divine that came in and just kind of allowed me to kind of release that. And there was almost like this finally letting go and allowing myself to actually relax. And so I correlate that into my healing with you, is because that's kind of what's been like this crunching energetically, like in my nervous system, right? I'm like just clenching, holding super tight. And then in you kind of really opening up those channels for my body to heal and to communicate better, like I've felt a physical actual releasing and letting go in that way too. So it's been happening on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, on a cosmic level, on a physical level, of just this like finally coming back into that parasympathetic nervous system response, where I'm like, wow, like I can relax and I'm not in danger. So that's been really, really interesting for me.
That's awesome, because yeah, that's probably one of the most common things that I hear from patients in my office, is just how much better they start sleeping, especially when we started adjusting them, because the body's finally able to get out of that survival mode, or just they feel more calm, more ease, anxiety and the stress really calms down on the system when we start doing that, when we start working with the body and shifting it out of that fight or flight.
It's amazing. So I understand that you have done some work with sacred plant medicine as well.
Yes, I have.
How do you feel like that has supported you in your work as, you know, a healer essentially, and somebody that's helping support other people on their healing journey?
It's helped in a lot of ways. It's really opened up my mind and my beliefs and my perception of things. It's made me way more intuitive as a healer. Mm-hmm. That is probably the biggest shift that I've known for me, is just how much more intuitive I am working with my patients. And so I'm very analytical. I'm very objective. I take x-rays on all my patients. I use like advanced computerized neurological scans. So all that stuff's cool, and I still do that. But just my ability to really tap into and feel where somebody needs that help, that connection, or that reconnection to happen. Mm-hmm. The medicine has really helped me with that part.
Yeah.
Another part about, I just want to touch on that we didn't really say too much, is like, because you asked me about beliefs, and yes, beliefs are important.
Yeah.
And so we can't just look at one thing to solve whatever we're dealing with or our problems, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say there's five things that we have to have to truly heal and truly be healthy and truly be well and to really function optimally. And so I always start with mindset and beliefs. Yeah. And so that is super important, because if you think something is going to make you sick, it's going to make you sick. If you think something is going to make you well, you're going to get better from it. And that's why the whole placebo, nocebo thing, right?
Yeah.
So our beliefs and our mindset are so important. And plant medicine has really helped me with that, and just my own beliefs and how I see things and how I understand things work, and just understanding the connection of everything from even just us as beings, as spiritual beings. And that's one thing, is that chiropractic does have a very spiritual philosophy from its like inception in 1895. It acknowledges that there's a universal intelligence in all matter, and that we have an innate intelligence in our body, that we're always striving for that self-healing and self-regulating. And really kind of working with the medicine has really not only helped me just to kind of think about it, but to truly feel that and then like embody that. And that has just like, it's not like I just have heard it. It's like, I know it. It's like, I know that life force is working in us and with us and at all times. And it's always there. Mm-hmm. And it's always trying to support you and heal you and never leaves you. That same innate intelligence, that beauty, that wisdom that took you from like two half cells when your parents conceived you, into like the 3 trillion cells that you are 9 months later, the wisdom that allowed that amazing beauty and magic to happen didn't stop when you were born. It's still with you. It's always in you. It's always working and guiding with you. And the plant medicine has really helped me kind of connect into that and just really feel that energy and that intelligence as well.
It's amazing.
I don't mean to go back to this, but I just want to finish. Like, so mindset is super important.
Yeah.
Right. So we got to make sure we're addressing that. But then we also have to look at our nutrition and diet, right? So no matter how good your mindset is, like if you're, you know, drinking like a bottle of tequila every single night when you go home, you're going to be chemically stressing and toxing your system and wearing yourself out.
Yeah.
So you can't be toxic with things that are going to interfere with normal cellular function. And you also have to be sufficient with all the things you need. So you have to give your body all the nutrients that it needs to be able to heal and function. So we got to have good mindset. We have to have good nutrition, exercise and movement, right? We are animals. We're designed to be moving. We're hunter-gatherers. Genetically, for how we evolved, we have to be moving every single day. So proper movement and exercise. The other thing is a proper functioning nervous system. So that's one that most people miss, because a lot of people know they're supposed to exercise, or they know they should have good mindset. They know they should be eating well. They know they should exercise.
Yeah.
A lot of times they kind of stop there. Mm-hmm. But you have to have a proper functioning nervous system. Your brain has to be able to perceive everything happening in your body so that it can self-heal and self-regulate. And then the fifth thing is proper rest. Because if you don't shut down the body and allow the body to get the adequate sleep and rest that it needs, it's not giving it the time that it needs to heal as well.
Yeah.
So those are like the five things that we always need to make sure that we're like pure and sufficient in, and then we're getting all the things that we need for our body to truly be healthy and be well.
Yeah. The perception thing, I think, is the biggest thing. Like you said, it's people are, because if your body is perceived that you're always in danger, like everything is perceived that way, you're always filtering it through that lens. And obviously I work with a lot of people that have had a lot of trauma and that have experienced really tough, challenging times in their lives. And this this just constant projection of they're always in danger and everything is always a danger. And that is, you know, I do work with healing people on a spiritual and an emotional level. And I think this component of really getting people out of that fight or flight is so, so major, because I can share with them, you know, all the healing modalities, all the meditative practices, but it's like, I can't, sometimes there's times where like, I can't convince them that they are safe. You know, and I've experienced that within myself too, because like I feel like this year in particular, and if you guys have been listening to this, the last couple episodes, I've been really, really honing in on this idea of safety, right? And like, there's so many different levels of what we perceive as safety and unsafety, and this year, you know, through everything that I've been healing through, I really came to the realization that I've never felt safe. And I've always had this idea of like, I'm safe because I live in a home, right? Or I have the things I need, or I have food to eat. But there was also this idea of like emotional safety was never established. And it was always kind of like on this shaky ground. And I think through this last year of healing, like I've really been forced to look at this, how do I develop my own internal emotional safety? How do I keep myself safe on a deep soul level, in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit? And I think a huge part of kind of the divine alignment of you coming into my life too and bringing all this healing work was allowing my body, my physical body, to kind of be put at ease so that I can also, that I can continue to the work of building that inner and emotional safety for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, safety, and obviously, you know, because of all the work that you've done before you even came to see me,
yeah,
and my practice, I mean, I know you eat great, right?
Yeah.
And I know you're exercising super regular with yoga and weights and training and just all that. So you take care of yourself in those regards and, mm-hmm. and the mindsets and beliefs and all the work you've done with plant medicine and healing those parts. But the physical part that has been stuck in there and the nervous system being in that sympathetic state is, I believe, for you, a missing piece of the puzzle of that you've been stuck in the sympathetic fight or flight state. And if we're in survival, we can't feel safe, right?
Yeah.
If you feel like you're about to be eaten by a lion, like, and maybe you don't feel that or mentally know that,
mm-hmm.
but your physiology is running that way in the background, or your subconscious mind is running like you're about to be eaten. You can't feel safe. You're not going to be able to sleep well. You're not going to be able to like really rest or even just trust.
Show up in, I was about to say, like, you can't show up in for your dreams if you don't feel safe, right? You can't show up to create abundance or create opportunities for yourself if you don't feel safe to put yourself out there. You can't show up for relationships in the same way if you don't feel safe to be seen, to open up your heart, to be intimate. Like, if you don't feel safe emotionally, internally, like, you can't really show up to experience life fully, because then you're just kind of, you have your guard is up, you're constantly just living in fear and really trying to control a lot of the elements in life that would be unsafe, like, you know, steering away from things that are unknown or things that you haven't done before. And, you know, I help a lot of people trying to break out of their bubble, and really all it comes down to is like they feel unsafe, right? And like you said, it's like if it's in your body, there's like you show up for everything differently when you feel unsafe. And then as I've seen in recently, like I've been showing up so differently for my business, for my clients, for, you know, my work in the world. Now that I just feel more safe in my to be in my body, to be present in my body, right? Because a lot of times too, when you're unsafe, like there's always this idea that you're always kind of like looking to the future. And this was something that I was actually working with a psychologist over this summer. I would ask him, like, there is this, I was having a hard time being present because there was this part of me that was always looking for the next lion.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm always looking for where the threat is. And if there wasn't one, I was going to create it because it felt more safe for me to pinpoint something than to not know where it was at all.
And that makes evolutionary sense, right? Because when you have that encounter with a lion, your brain and nervous system wants to program it to look for that second lion in the future.
Yeah.
So that you don't get eaten by a lion.
Right.
Right. And so when we have that happening, yeah, it makes it so hard to be present and in the moment because, again, in that sympathetic dominant state, yeah, survival, we're stuck. We're unable to be present because we're always looking for that other threat that might show up in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember my psychologist at the time, she was like, you just need more oxytocin, babe. And I was like, okay, how do I get that? She's like, and then that's when she was like, have somebody come and lay on top of you. She's like, or buy a weighted blanket. So I bought like a 15-pound weighted blanket. And I'm like laying underneath there. And I was like, okay, when am I going to start feeling more oxytocin now? But yeah, I felt like I was, you know, and I've been on my healing journey like 8 years, right? I've done over 150 ayahuasca ceremonies. I've done every single holistic healing modality in the spiritual book. And, you know, and my shaman had told me too that he was like, it's in your body, babe. Like, it's in your nervous system. Like, you need to start healing the nervous system. And so, you know, I was taking rose petal baths, which, by the way, rose petal baths are the reason they tell you to take rose petal baths because rose petals have the highest frequency. And so, like, bathing with rose petals will actually help you absorb the high frequency of love into your body. But again, if your spine's all twisted up, then it's still going to kind of be stuck in that space.
And that's still going to help us, right? Like, yeah. Taking a bath of rose petals is great because, yes, the vibration, the frequency of rose, right? And like rose water, rose petals, right?
Yeah.
It does elevate us because we are energetic beings. However, if your spine is all twisted and kinked and in there, yes, your overall frequency will elevate, mm-hmm. but there's still a part of you that is stuck, essentially. Yeah. And when we're stuck, that keeps us stuck kind of where we are. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes it hard to kind of get to that next level or that next place if we're stuck somewhere in our body.
Yeah.
And so we want to get unstuck.
Okay, so back to this ayahuasca ceremony that I had last year, I remember that the medicine had told me she was asking me to grow in a particular way that it was uncertain. I didn't know where I was being led. And I realized now that like the reason I was being so resistant and unwilling to be led through whatever journey she was trying to lead me through was because I felt very unsafe to do so. Because I didn't know where, you know, and a lot of times in your own spiritual growth, like you'll never really know what the next step is. And that's where the practice of trust and surrender comes in. And, you know, it's a lifelong practice of learning how to embody those aspects. And so I was just thinking like, okay, last year I was being asked to walk a path and I felt very unsafe to do so. And so then somehow I get led on this crazy journey of a year to really start to look at why I feel unsafe. Like, I just feel intrinsically unsafe, right? And obviously from all the abuse that I suffered as a child and all the things that I've been through in my life. And so I love the way that, you know, all the supportive elements like of, you know, infinite intelligence has brought in not only the experiences I needed to start developing my inner safety, but then also people like you to come in and help me to untwist my spine so I can feel safe in my body. And so I can then continue to grow and expand into who I'm meant to be in this earth. And so I'm excited to continue on this journey of healing and to see where that will lead me, because the more safe I feel in my body to be present and to experience life fully, then I can actually embrace life more and I can actually expand more and continue to seek more and grow more and build more and do more because I carry my own inner safety within myself. Dr. Ryan, can you tell us, so, you know, beyond just what the Gonset is doing for my emotional, mental, and physical body, I know that you have helped a lot of people heal diseases or at least avoid surgeries and things like that. Can you expand a little bit more on that? Obviously without dropping anybody's names or anything, but
On which aspect specifically?
Like, I mean, give me a story or two where people were able to avoid having to maybe take medication or...
Yeah, I can give a few examples of different age ranges too, right? Yeah. So, you know, a mom came in to start care and she came in because her back hurt. And a lot of times people will come to me for that initially until when they come to the office and they get educated to understand it's so much more than that and goes above and beyond that. Mm-hmm. And when I was explaining to her, like even things that were going on and how different parts of the body connect to different things, we talked about how the nerves in the neck affect our ear and our inner ears and how our ears work. And she's like, oh my God, do you think that would help my son who has chronic ear infections? He's scheduled to have surgery next month to have tubes put in his ears because he has these constant chronic ear infections that no matter what like we do, they just aren't getting better. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things I've helped a lot of children with over the years are ear infections. And so a lot of times that comes from two things. One, it's a neurological misalignment up here that happens at the birthing process that doesn't allow the nerves to communicate with the muscles that connect to the inner ear to open it up and drain, but also just mechanically it's stuck so fluid can't drain properly there. So she brought her son in and we started adjusting him and, you know, we've been seeing him for quite a while now, but I mean, no tubes in the ears. They canceled the surgery.
Yay!
He's doing so good. So it's just, that's one example of one reason that somebody might come in to see me and something that we see as success, right? So, you know, surgically putting a two-year-old under surgery to put tubes in their ears so that they'll drain. And a lot of times the body innately will push the tubes out and they have to go back and get the surgery again because the body, you're not supposed to have tubes in your ears.
Yeah.
So the body tries to push foreign objects out of the body. So instead of going there, we can do a much less invasive of actually just restoring the normal biomechanics and normal neurological function and allow the ears and the body to work the way it's supposed to, and then the body heals.
Yeah.
Another case would be like, you know, maybe a kiddo in class that can't sit still and they can't focus, they can't concentrate. And then, you know, they go to the doctor and they want to give them Adderall, right? Or some type of amphetamine that we're going to put a kid on, which can be very addictive, right? Mm-hmm. So we, for example, one kiddo that we started adjusting, you know, mom had the teacher come up to her like a month after that he was getting adjusted and is like, oh, did you put, I'm going to fake name, little Johnny on medication? She's like, no, we've been taking the chiropractor. She's like, oh my God, like, because he's been so great in class. He's like totally shifted, totally changed.
Yeah.
And really it's about getting him out of that sympathetic fight or flight state.
Yeah.
And so that he's connected and can just function the way he's supposed to.
Yeah.
And then surgeries. Yeah. So, you know, we help people avoid surgeries all the time. So maybe it is something more physical that something is going wrong where somebody has pain shooting down their arm or all the way down their leg and they get like sciatica or that nerve pain. And a lot of times you go to the medical doctor or you go to a surgeon, they're going to tell you need surgery. Mm-hmm. And so that's more of a mechanical structural nerve being compressed from the lumbar and the low back and it goes all the way down the leg. We can adjust to correct that. And we do that all the time. So people don't need those kind of surgeries.
Yeah.
Even digestive stuff, right? People will come in for all kind of digestive problems. And digestion's a twofold thing. It's one, we got to make sure the nerves coming off the spine can actually communicate with the digestive organs properly. Because if the nerve that goes to your stomach isn't allowing your stomach to produce enough stomach acid, you're not going to be able to digest your food properly from the start. And or that could be one issue, or maybe it's just that your body's in fight or flight, like we've been talking about today. If your body's worried about being lunch, it's not worried about digesting your lunch, right? So we can't be in that state of survival and have normal digestion because your body shuts down your normal digestive function when you're under in that sympathetic state.
Yeah.
So just normalizing all different types of function in the body we see all the time in the practice. Yeah. And that's one of the coolest things about what I do is the longer somebody's under care in my practice, the more things just continue to get better. Like, we're just getting started with you, right? Yeah. So we're just starting to see some of the things start to unravel and some things starting to shift and change.
Yeah.
The longer we work with you, I have no doubt more and more things are just going to continue to get better in your life. And that's what I always tell people when they come to see me is like, let me know, pay attention to your body. Let me know what changes, mm-hmm. right? Because that's sometimes the one thing that I can't decide is what your body decides to heal first.
Mm.
And so when I'm removing interference into the brain and the nervous system, we're reconnecting how the brain communicates throughout the body. The brain and nervous system and that innate intelligence in the body is going to decide what is the hierarchy, what needs to be healed first.
Mm.
And so maybe the reason somebody came to see me wasn't what the body knew needed to be healed first.
Mm.
And so maybe somebody came to me for, I don't know, I'm going to just throw something out there. Let's say they came to see me for headaches.
Yeah.
And let's say I start adjusting them and they're like, I'm still getting headaches, but like I sleep through the night now. Like my digestion's completely gotten better. Like, you know, they start telling me all these things that are gotten better, but then the longer we work on them, the headaches go away. And so, but the body's going to put that energy where it needs to heal first. And there's no point of max medical improvement. So the longer we're working on somebody, their body just continues to get better and better. Because we're allowing it to start to self-heal and self-regulate the way it's designed
to.
Wow,
no medication, no surgeries.
Correct.
This is amazing. Yeah. This is like, I don't know why more people don't know about this. When I learned about this, I was like, you need to come on the podcast because more people need to know about this. So, Dr. Ryan, how can people... Well, you're in Encinitas in California, so...
Yes.
If people are maybe not in California, do you recommend them looking for a chiropractor in their area? And how would they find more people that specialize in your particular method?
So, yeah, that's the hardest thing about, and, you know, because I love chiropractic, but I have a love-hate with my profession because there are a lot of people out there that are chiropractors that do things that I don't really think are that great. See stuff on, like, Instagram and social media videos that make me cringe that I would never let somebody do to me. there are a lot of chiropractors out there that don't x-ray their patient. To me, like, without an x-ray, you have no idea what that spine looks like underneath.
Right.
Just like you, right?
Yeah.
Like, you thought your spine probably looked great and was nice and straight.
I was like, I do yoga good. Every day. I stretch, yeah. Like I should be good, even though I've had this chronic pain for 30 plus years, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. And like looking at your back just without an x-ray, you don't see any like curve or misalignment. It looks normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So nobody was ever going to look at you without taking an x-ray and think, oh man, Diana's back is all crooked. And or it's until yeah. you showed it to your friend and they, I think they said it looked like a question mark in your
yeah.
back. But a lot of times we don't know until we take that x-ray. So an x-ray is so important. That's one thing about a Gonsa chiropractor we take a full spine x-ray from top to bottom. And so we can look at the whole thing as a whole to also know how one part is affecting the other.
Mm-hmm.
But then also we can see what everything looks like. So we know not only where the problem is, but the direction and how to adjust it to correct it and
yeah.
actually restore it back to a normal state. So you definitely, if you can't find a Gonsa chiropractor, and if somebody lives somewhere else, obviously if you're in the San Diego area, you can come see me. If not, though, you can go onto, there's a few websites. One is just gonsted.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can put a link to probably the spelling of that mm-hmm. or
I will.
In there. There's another one called Gonsted Seminar. Those are like the two directories that have doctors listed that do Gonsted. But unfortunately, there's also a lot of offices where they say that they do Gonsed and they don't. So that's where it gets really tricky.
That's like coaches that tell you they're going to do nervous system healing, but they don't.
Yeah. Not a good thing, but unfortunately happens.
Yeah.
So it always helps if you do have somebody you can always reach out to kind of check or verify. But you want to make sure they take x-rays. You want to make sure they do what's called instrumentation and just more neurological focus. And if you can't find a Gonsa chiropractor, there are other great chiropractors out there. You do want to make sure somebody's very focused on the nervous system, though, with your healing, and not somebody that's just kind of trying to adjust you, putting general manipulation into your body just for like trying to help decrease your aches and pains.
Yeah.
You want someone that's actually restoring the neurological function, which will take care of the aches and pains, but mm-hmm. it's just going to really reconnect your body to optimize it to allow it to function how it's supposed to.
Yeah. And I think is what's important too is identifying like what is your lion, right? Because I feel like maybe a lot of times when I'm meeting people, they don't even realize that they're in fight or flight, right? Because it's become such a normalized state of being for them. And, you know, I also meet a lot of people that don't even categorize things that they've been through as trauma. And so they don't even realize that they're constantly showing up for life in this space of feeling unsafe and being on guard and operating from that lens of their trauma. And so a lot of the healing work might have to start with you just being aware of, like, what is my line? What is the thing that I have been affected by that maybe I still feel unsafe or still feel like I'm looking out for? You know, for people, it could be relationships. It could be intimacy, right? It could be letting love in. It could be failing. It could be feeling insecure, being seen, being heard. So everybody's fear, their lion, could be many different things, right? Just because I was abused. So it could be somebody physically attacking me, but it manifested into so many other aspects of what I was feeling unsafe from. And so, the healing journey has many faces, and I think that you need to find what feels right for you first, right? Does it feel like right to go and see somebody like Dr. Ryan first, or does it feel like you need to find a coach, a mentor, a therapist to really start to work through what it is that you are protecting yourself from, you know?
Yeah, I love that you said that about finding the lion, because that's something that most people, when they walk in, like I have all these questions on my intake forms and trying to uncover the three T's, the trauma, the toxins and thoughts from people.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people almost like have a hard time connecting with them and don't even realize that they have all these things. Right. Yeah. And then I also love that you say find that lion, because you could also get in the problem of the trap of using me as like a band-aid, or we remove or we take that stress off the nervous system. But if the lion is still chasing you, if you're still living in a state of emotional stress, you mm-hmm. haven't addressed your emotional wounds. Mm-hmm. You haven't addressed your poor beliefs and your mindset that are still running in your subconscious in those programs.
Yeah.
We'll get you better, but you're just going to go back, right?
Oh, wow.
And that's the thing, is your nervous system is going to want to default back to that state because you haven't removed the why or the cause, right? So we always want to get to the cause of what caused the stress on the nervous system to begin with, because if you don't remove that cause, the nervous system's going to get stressed out again.
It's just going to go back into...
And it's going to go back again. Okay. And then we're going to be seeing you forever, which... It's good to be seen on a regular basis, but the frequency gets less over time because the nervous system can operate from a higher state without being reset. But if you're always under that stress or that lion still there, your frequency is going to have to just stay more frequent for a long time because you're not addressing the cause of what's stressing the nervous system out. Mm-hmm. And it could be a physical stress. If you do jiu-jitsu, I do grappling. So if you do jiu-jitsu, you're under physical stress every week. I think if you're doing jiu-jitsu, you better be getting adjusted every week, because otherwise down the road, you're going to regret it, because that's physical trauma and stress to the body that will kind of eventually show up in a big way and in a lot of trouble down the line.
Yeah.
But same thing, that a lot of times people don't realize, like, somebody that eats too much sugar, like, their low back can go at them and seize up and go into spasm. It doesn't have to be they lifted and picked something up heavy. It's the stress on the nervous system from the sugar will start to stress the internal organs in the system and then will manifest physically.
Wow.
And so if you're somebody that it continues to eat a poor diet with processed refined foods, lots of sugars, lots of things that we know are just not good for the body, your nervous system is still going to be stressed out, and you're just going to be stuck on this constant, like, just this wheel that you have a hard time getting off of. You'll get better, but again, you just slip back, right?
Yeah.
So find out for you, what is your lion? What category? I always ask people first, like, what category of stress is the biggest for you? Is it the physical stress?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the chemical stress? Or is it the emotional stress, right? If somebody has a terrible job and they hate their job and they hate going to work every day, or they hate their relationship, they hate their partner, you can get adjusted all day long. But if you're still in a terrible relationship,
yeah,
hate to say, you're gonna have some problems still.
Yeah.
So you got to address that. So you can't neglect those areas. You know, if you have those emotional traumas that you've been through, you need to work with a coach. You need to work with somebody that's going to help guide you through those or give you the tools to heal from those on emotional mindset level, right? Yeah. Give the meditation tools and all the different tools and strategies right. to address that, right? Because those are part of the cause. Mm-hmm. But if you do that alone, the physical part might be stuck there. So that's why you need everything in combination.
Mind, right? body, and spirit.
Yeah, you got to handle all of it. Right? And that's like we talked about plant medicine. That to me, that heals us on a very like energetic mindset, spiritual level.
Yes.
And I think that's so valuable, and it really does help to just connect us to source and that higher power. I can't tell you how many people I've come across on the journey myself that are borderline atheists until they do plant medicine, and all of a sudden they're connected with God.
Yeah.
So it connects you to a higher source or power. But you have to address all the different components to truly be healthier. Well,
right. And then on the other side too, and you know, I've been obviously working with plant medicine for 8 years, and then I've seen people, you know, use that as well, where it's like all they're doing is plant medicine. They're not addressing anything else. They're not doing anything else. There's no integration outside of that. And then, you know, it really is about like a life of balance, right? Like balancing it all, mind, body, and spirit, working to heal yourself on all levels, and not thinking that anything, one thing is like the silver bullet, right? That's going to heal you and solve all your problems. And I've been on this healing journey for a long time, and I've realized, you know, it's like, it takes all of it. You got to do all of it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, Dr. Ryan, it has been such a pleasure to have you here. And thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us and the audience and everybody that's going to be tuning into this episode. And I'm going to put Dr. Ryan's information in the show notes, and you can follow him on Instagram at Dr. Karen Gola. And you guys know me. I'm at The Urban Indigo. I love you guys. Thank you for tuning to another episode, and I'll see you next time. Bye.